womp.
There it goes.
But yeah. But no, it's kind of fun thinking about those days, as it were.
Yeah.
Man, when the Rebs, like, were terrible.
You mean when you started playing them?
Yeah. And I still took them just to show them.
You did, and now you've been kicking my butt with them.
A little bit.
Because I'm an ape.
A little bit.
Because I'm an ape.
I mean, that guy was pretty cool. It was, like, the first, maybe second time I've actually run the Simian Brawler.
Yeah.
They're good.
Give me back my scout on murder birds and take something away from them. My God.
Right. But yeah, it's, so for those that, don't know, one of our good friends, Jesse Cornwall, he was a giant in the Kings of War community and in the Mantic scene in general.
All over.
And a real stand-up guy. I mean, by now we're kind of, might be one of the last podcasts to mention at this point. So a lot of folks probably have already heard, but, he had passed away, just a short while ago, to cancer.
Lost his battle with cancer.
Yep. And really one of the sweetest guys, always fun to play, always cracking jokes.
You could hear him, no matter where you were, especially at Adept Gun.
Oh yeah,
80 some players, and I could still. But oh, there's Jesse.
Yep. He had a great presence.
Yeah,
and I think everyone that played against him, win or lose, they had a great time.
Did you play him when he came up here for Kings of War? I know that Josh played against him.
I don't think I did, just because I was on the losing track. I think my bracket would never pit me against him. For those that don't know, my Kings of War record is that I've won the Wooden Spoon in almost every tournament that I've gone to.
Well, elves, rebs, just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe you can get around to getting your elves up there.
I'm thinking about it. I actually haven't tried out third edition yet. It's on the to-do list, though. I've got a decent force. I think I tried, not to tangent too much, but I did, I think, try to convert kind of the model set that I had.
Yeah.
I think the downside is, with their change to minimum model count, I might need to paint more guys?
Yes. Yeah, because the minimal model count, I mean, I think that's official this year.
Hmm.
As 21, I think. This is when it's going to be part of the GT, the Masters, I think.
Probably.
But because of the whole COVID thing, they might extend that one more year.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Because there
maybe.
Really hasn't been a physical tournament scene. I mean, they've been able to do the digital scenes.
Yeah.
Which, sure, in digital, it's really easy to have full model.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Painted too.
Yeah, I was actually. The other day, I was actually looking at my Basilians or. Nautic dudes.
Trident
Realms. I'm looking at them going, I should probably have more than one Kings of War army. Because I still have just my undead built.
Yeah.
And I have multiple Vanguard factions.
Mm-hmm.
Enough assembled for a couple warbands there. But for Kings of War, I only have my undead.
Yeah. I could technically run. I got elves for sure.
Yep.
I have the models for Forces of Nature.
Yeah.
Set. But like none of them are assembled or painted. And then I have enough old Warhammer minis to do like a Kingdoms of Men they changed what the Brotherhood was. I forget their new name. It's like Order of the Lady or something like that. But,
I thought Order of the Lady was part of the. It was still, no, it was the elves and forces of nature or some combination of it.
Possibly. Anyway, you guys.
Go check out Countercharge if you want the answer to that one.
Yes. And we did tangent a little far.
Us tangent?
To bring it back, you know, Jesse, we are going to miss you dearly. You were a gentleman and a scholar, as they say. And you made this gaming community. a fun and great place.
He was kind of a big deal. And I'll tell you, I will definitely, it'd be hard pressed not to eat a slice of pizza and not think about it.
Yeah. And it's great to hear for those that also maybe haven't heard, at least for the Kings of War tournaments, they're going to be changing the sportsmanship award in his honor.
Yeah.
Which is, I think it's a great.
Well, and the ogre.
Yep.
The ogre warlock that they did for him.
Yep.
Which was phenomenal.
Yep. Mantic put together a custom mini to kind of reflect him as a player and personality.
It's the belt buckle or whatever on the warlock was a slice of pizza. And apparently that all the different things on him are from pretty big battles Jesse had, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah, it's a great amount of detail, and it's a fantastic figure, and I think a great tribute.
Yeah.
Kind
of makes me want to play ogres again.
I mean, I was like, don't you have a force of ogres?
I did. Okay. I sold them off to one of the local guys
that
wanted to get into Kings of War, and he wanted to play ogres.
Right, right.
So now I might have to buy more ogres.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah. And so with that, welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Brian.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
And so from that, we'll kind of pivot more into the other topics of the show. But we wanted to make sure we mention such a great Jesse. Person, a great member of the community.
Yeah.
So with that, we got a variety of topics for this week. And thankfully, we don't have to rush through and list off all the news things that are coming up.
This time.
That was a mouthful. Last episode.
Well, and if you watch on the Facebook pages and stuff keeps popping out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a feeling that we're gonna have a whole bunch of news, especially this summer.
Yeah,
over all kinds of different things coming.
Yeah, and even likely one of the other topics that has come up. It's a little bit of a tangent. Was the shipments of like the League of Infamy boxes.
Yes.
It sounds like on Mantic's side they had orders placed out to China, I believe.
Yep.
For a lot of minis for their game lines that have been coming out. League of Infamy was another kind of Kings of War kind of Star Saga-esque.
So it's Dungeon Saga.
Yeah.
It's in that same world of Dungeon Saga and Star Saga where it's a dungeon crawl.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is with League, you actually play as the villains.
Yeah, yeah.
So the game itself is the good guys.
Yep.
So you get to storm in and kill some elves, which, yay.
So, but with that, I know there had been a lot of talk that the Star Saga expansions, that a lot of them were kind of waiting on resupply.
Yeah.
And so hopefully.
Which are up. Aren't a couple of them up on the website? I know the character creator is.
Yeah, I think there's, I think I heard that about two packages had arrived. I think it was the character creator and one other.
Take Back?
It might be Take Back. But I know that there's been a complaint about the Star Saga line for quite a while, is that so much of it was out of print and out of stock. There's some of that news is still kind of coming in. And we'll be finding out what has been restocked. But we know for sure, Star Saga is not something that Mantic is just going to go away with. They really do want to support it. I think there was a series of circumstances that made that difficult at the time. But we are likely going to be seeing some restock on those product lines. And so hopefully people can...
As of the recording, the character creator is back in stock.
Gotcha. And we're checking the other ones real quick.
Yeah, as you're going.
Figure I'd check. Yeah, yeah.
Black Star Station is back.
Okay.
And that gets you the Volt Chasers.
Nice. Those guys are crazy.
Yeah, they are.
But so that's something we can hopefully look forward to. I think a lot of people during this time have been trying out Star Saga, kind of the main campaign.
Unfortunately, Devil's Betrayal is still out.
Ah, gotcha. That's the Rebs one, guys.
Oh, darn.
But so yeah, hopefully we'll see a much more restock of that product line and
Terra and the
Nice, the Nameless.
Yeah. Yeah, so the only thing that's out of stock right now is Betrayal.
Oh, great.
As of the recording.
You guys might have already bought all of them by the time you hear this.
Buy a whole bunch and they're going to be out of stock again.
Yeah, I don't know if my wife would let me budget that much. But if you have played and enjoyed Star Saga, I know we have. Definitely go check out those products if you can get your hands on them now. Hopefully you don't have to go to eBay anymore and pay an exorbitant amount, but yeah, definitely check those out, and hopefully we'll continue to see kind of the restock and hopefully even more adventures for Blaine and the team.
I got sidetracked reading, sorry,
a little bit. but yeah, so there,
I have to look over and see what kind of notes we got.
We have just a couple of notes. So the next one I thought we kind of mention, as the new ways to play have kind of evolved.
Yep.
One that I had stumbled upon, that just kind of came out recently, and a few people have tried it out, is remote play of Dead Zone. So there have been some people trying to work on Tabletop Simulator and things like that. I haven't heard as much buzz on the status of that project. But in the meantime, someone, Tim Croft.
Looking Glass. Glue the Looking Glass.
Glue the Looking Glass.
Interesting.
He has put together a list of rules to kind of assist with basically playing one player, you know, in their home with a camera set up. And yep. Another player, you know, it's like remote chess almost. Basically, I think they akin it to Battleship, actually, a sure. little bit more. But basically, you kind of put an alphabet and a number grid lineup. And you kind of are matching the player movements as one player goes and one player... Yeah. Go. So it's kind of a unique way to play. They have a couple of additional rules. I know they mention one of the first things they mention is like expect to play a bit of a longer game.
Well, yeah,
just because the nature of it.
And it's nice that they have in here that they have very specific scenery pieces that you want to use.
Yeah.
To make it easier.
Yeah. So unfortunately, you know, you are kind of beholden. You won't be able to do those kind of trick shot line of sight type things. I think it's a little bit more. Hey, clear
like
cut.
Volt Chasers. He's playing Volt Chasers.
It's a little more clear cut just to make it a little easier on the plane.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, it's definitely something worth trying. I believe the file I'll be linking to kind of the main post about it. But the file should be up in the Dead Zone Fanatics Facebook group. And so if you have a friend that's a ways away or, you know, you're still kind of quarantined or solo for a bit, but you really want to play with somebody, you know, there's now
that's another option,
an option worth checking out.
Yep.
And so with that, if you say you were alone and didn't want to play with anybody, Rick, what were you playing around with?
So I played around with a kind of a dumbed down artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So I played Maison Labs versus Marauders. I just did 150 points so I could figure it out to see if it would work. And all I did was I numbered the Marauders. So I had 7 models. So I just used a D8.
Mm-hmm.
And I numbered them. So it was my troops and then my specialists and then my leader and then my stunt bot. Because why wouldn't I take a stunt bot?
Why wouldn't you? 3 hard points? It's great.
And it was really simple. So when it was the Marauder's turn, I just rolled the dice. Mm-hmm. So it was always random which one went. And then it was really simple. It was if they had a target they could shoot at, they would shoot.
Mm-hmm.
If there was no target to shoot, they would move.
Yeah.
They would move their full movement. So they would sprint. And it was always towards the closest objective.
Right.
And that objective can be another model or an objective point. And I lost. I thought I was going to do pretty good. I'm like, this is an artificial intelligence. I'll be able to nail them easy. But what I didn't realize is when you take the decisions out of it,
mm-hmm.
and you run something that's just clear cut,
yeah.
they are going to shoot at whatever they see first.
Yep.
And then they're going to move.
Makes it a bit of a meat grinder.
It's like, oh, crap. I shouldn't have put myself there.
You're like trying to think of all these crazy tactics, yeah. and meanwhile, it's just steamrolling through.
It's steaming rolling through. And like, so the stunt bot ended up in the middle of the board. Three hard points.
Daka daka.
I'll take that one. Yeah, it was like, well, I can't do anything. And Maison Labs is not really great at taking out armor.
No. They need a little bit of love on that front. Or you have to build towards it.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was about the same length as a regular game.
Mm-hmm.
And I was jumping both sides of my table. I wasn't just reaching across. I'd run over there and roll my dice for the Marauders. And I used my regular white dice for the Marauders. And I used my Levi's blue dice for Maison Labs.
The legendary Levi dice. It still helped
me. Wow. In fact, what did I roll? I got an 8 trained for the Marauders. That was like 6 8s.
Jeez.
And I rolled 1 on my defense. And I'm like, nobody's watching. I could punch this. No. But no, I mean, obviously, to play these games, it's a lot more fun to have somebody that you're playing with.
Sure.
Like the games that we've played, it's always about being together and that enjoyment of. But if you really need to roll some dice, you
really got that.
It's a really simple way to do it.
And I think the other thing you had mentioned with in regards to like command dice is that
use them immediately.
Yeah, if you can use them, you use them.
Yeah, and it took all of it out.
And I mean, like, if you think about it, like that's like 3 rules that you have to manage.
It really sucks when you're playing Marauders because you're stealing your own dice.
Yeah,
I stole all of the shoots constantly, and I'm like, it's available. I stole it. 3 simple rules.
Mm-hmm.
The randomizing the number of the models.
Yep.
When they activate, they shoot what they can see or they move.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's something you can pretty easily scale up because you're never going to have more than 20 models on the board more often than not.
Well, I mean,
unless you're playing
Plague, you might be able to
at 200 points. If you want to. I'm just saying, like, you got a D20, you can do the math.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you can roll 2 10 dice dice is 100 dice, so
yeah, you can do that as well.
So I guess technically we could play percentile. This on Firefight too.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's a lot of dice.
It's kind of fascinating because when you think about it, like, that's actually simpler rules than the artificial stupid zombie rules.
It is.
Like, and I'm not knocking artificial zombie.
So fun.
It's a fun and very unique way to play. It's very different, but in a really cool way because it is that kind of.
Well, it's also that whole. The artificial stupid is also developed for the whole campaign setting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's something more going on there. Me, I just wanted to roll some dice and move some toy figures around.
Right.
And using those 3 rules could also help you build a list.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, 9 times out of 10, well, 8 times out of 10 at this point, as long as you bring the simian, it's maybe 7 out of 10. I steamroll.
Yeah.
I don't spend a lot of time hanging back. I go right after it, which is what you're going to play against a lot of times. There's not a lot of people that in Dead Zone hang back.
Yeah. And I think that really does help with, you know, kind of like doing the decision making, right? Because that's what the AI, as it were, is supposed to do for you, is to kind of try to keep your own bias from affecting the decision. Because, like, you know, say I play Rebs against anything, you know, there is that part of me that's like, I kind of want the Rebs to win.
Of course.
And so having something.
But now I want to see you actually play that. Use those rules.
I kind of want to
play against the Rebs.
I think I will. and especially since I just recently finished painting up a plague list.
Yep.
Nothing too crazy as far it's.
Well, yeah.
The meat and potatoes of it.
I did the list the way I did it. It was just so it was a really simple list. I mean, I did. A leader, three troops, three specialists, and the stunt bot. Two specialists and the stunt bot. And then I had a little bit more with Maze on that, but it was all generic stuff.
Yeah.
Just to see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as it is, it's a way to play.
Hey everybody, this is John Jack from Crippled Fox Gaming, and you are listening to the lovely and talented Rick and Brian on Dead Zone, the podcast.
Yeah. And so, we'll might write up, I mean, this is not Brian, even a Word document.
Brian will write this up a little bit.
I'll write up a little thing to roll that out there. Won't, might couple it with, and we talked, I know, last episode a little bit about our latest campaign
game. So our next game's going to be huge. Unfortunately, we didn't get to be able to figure out the schedules due to work and everything.
Yeah.
And snowstorms.
Yeah. February's kind of a crazy month.
And almost done already.
Yeah. So
short February is.
So, but we are planning to release the train heist scenario.
Train heist.
That'll be going live with the episode. And yeah, that was a fun one too. So that'll be out there. But yeah, so I'll write up a little doc just to be Rick's rules.
Get Rick rolled.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently it worked on myself.
All right, roll a one, never gonna give you up. And so definitely something to try out. Looks like we got some more ways to play as the case kind of continues to be for the show and exploring thereof. So that's some good content for Dead Zone.
Yeah.
And like I said, I finished painting up my plague.
Yeah, you finished your plague.
Which was kind of fun.
Did you jump into any more scenery yet?
Not yet. From the last time I kind of have to take one project at a time, as it were. But yeah, so I painted up my plague. I had a little fun, with the kind of more zombie and ghouls. I kind of painted them as infected versions of my GCPS and my Maison lab.
Nice.
So they kind of reflect ironically two different Gundam factions.
Hey, it works.
But, it took a little practice cause I was really on the fence with how I kind of wanted to paint them and I didn't want just the bubblegum pink with the white bone. I thought, you know, it looks good, but I just kind of wanted something different.
Sure.
Ironically, I kind of went more of a purple pink for most of the skin, and then I did like a black gray for the bone. The idea being that it got like the blood kind of coagulated in a dark way. And
it's got scabs all over it.
And it's all worked into the story that I'm working on for the writing competition. So
I thought it was really cool too that so the pictures that you sent me of it, like you had the aberration in the bag.
Yeah.
I recognize that aberration.
You recognize
it. But it was really cool that it matches it. Even though you went a different color, it still matches that aberration.
Yeah, and I just took some contrast paint and redid the bone part of it. But the rest of it looked. And I think I darkened the base because it was. I'm bad about painting bases. I do them.
I still suck at it too.
I do them flat black. No real scenery or anything added on there. I'm not knocking people that do bases.
Man, I've seen some amazing bases.
There have been some really cool stuff. I'm just usually at the point I'm painting the bases. I'm like, I'm ready to move on to something.
I'm done. I want something else.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. But yeah, so I've got, it's mostly troops, not going to lie. I think I've
it's
got,
plague. You don't need more.
I think I've got troops. Three specialists total, two HMGs and then the aberration. So
that's all you need. Two HMGs is all you need for Plague.
So
in my opinion.
And then a bunch of ghouls, a bunch of zombies, yep. A handful of dogs. Lots of leapers. They're featured kind of prominently in my story, so I'm like, yeah, we're gonna have a lot of leapers. but it was kind of fun to paint another forest. This one wasn't as themed as I've typically gone.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of.
This was kind of actually like Dead Zone themed.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah. In the grand scheme.
So you had a theme.
I had a theme, just not from a TV show or something. But
Jeff will appreciate that.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I've got a handful of Terraton Dreadball players that I've been thinking of mocking up into Shock Troopers. Just because it's just like a little bag of them that I got from a Mantic Crazy Box.
So at some point in this post-editing, Jeff skipped this part.
Yep. But yeah. Did you say you had some terrain stuff that you were playing around with?
No. Ah. I was hoping you had played with some more. No, but actually, when I pulled out the stuff to play this game, I actually thought, I think I'm going to break mine down.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go your route. I'm going to keep my ruined terrain.
Yeah. Your ruined terrain is really good. I have a good
table for ruined terrain, but all the other stuff, I think it's time to match it up and actually do...
Yeah.
Maybe not go as intense as Golden Gamer.
Dude,
his stuff is amazing.
So jealous of his tables.
And just give me a simple paintball table. But yeah. With like the way you did the hospital and the way you did the apartments, I really like that. And I think I'm going to steal that for myself.
Oh, by all means.
Do something more. No, from a hobby perspective, really, actually, the big thing I did was I finished off my enforcers.
There you go.
I have tons of bits and pieces, but I have all of my enforcers built.
Nice.
So I ended up building a Dead Zone would be 300 more points. a whole bunch of missile launchers.
Well, those guys are mean.
They are mean. Well, I was looking at... So the open beta is coming soon for Firefight 2.0. And I was looking at Firefight and I was looking at Warpath.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? I think I want to play Warpath again.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of emphasis on like special weapons teams, and you need a lot of the guys with the same guns.
So, built that up, and I've got a few more Plague that I want to build up, which is probably like 500 points if I really did all the zombies. Not sure I really want to do all the zombies. I have so many of those things.
There's a lot of zombies to be had.
I mean, right now I think I have 30 painted.
Okay.
No, I have 20 painted. I have 10 more primed and ready to go.
I've got like 8 painted.
Well, I've been playing with the Plague a lot longer than you.
True. And I mean, in the grand scheme, like that's all the Plague that I happen to have at this time.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is something like, I'm like, okay, I kind of want to get the booster. I want to try out the other the other models because there's some really cool ones. And
get yourself some bursters.
Yeah. Well, maybe not those, just because they're out of print.
You can skip the murder birds since
they're so broken.
I'm gonna keep hampering on that.
They're not, guys. They're solid. They're good. They're a good choice.
They're just not a good choice for me because I can't roll.
I mean that's a separate problem. That's a you problem.
That's a me problem. So but, this is what it feels like.
The murder birds are. I personally like. I've never played as them, but I've played against them, and I think they're fine opponents.
Yeah.
But
Well, yeah, because you kept eating them. But never enough for them to actually die.
Yeah. But yeah. So kind of on that note, one of the things that to kind of keep on Dead Zone for one last idea, it was something we were just kind of chatting with, more just kind of like, how cool would it be if this showed up in Dead Zone?
Yep.
And I won't lie, like, drawing a lot of inspiration from the really cool stuff that I'm really looking forward to with Dreadball, Because by the time this episode comes out, I think the Magnus Certificate book should
be
for the most part, it should be in circulation. Yeah. If not, you should be able to order it at least. Yeah. And so definitely pick that up because, oh man, it's
definitely.
It's looking so cool.
And then, like last night when we were talking, where I'm pretty sure I know where you're going with this because last night we were talking about it. And
so, guys, here's the pitch.
We're talking about Dead Zone.
Historical Dead Zone matches.
I think we should do it.
I think this would be so cool. Like it's something I'm really psyched and geeked about for Dreadball. Where again, yes. Kind of the concept being is that you get two teams, and in Dreadball, you get two teams that are already been through a league, essentially. They're already leveled up.
They've already experienced.
Preset lists, essentially.
Yeah.
And you play a match that where they faced off against each other, and you either rewrite history or you ensure that it happens in a very Back to the Future kind of style. Dead Zone, with that same concept, you have a campaign leveled up team facing off against the campaign leveled up team. And I mean, think about this. Like
it'd be kind of like going through and doing Nexus Psi again for the whole battle between the Enforcers and the Plague on Triton, but this is at the end of that. Mm-hmm. So both teams are already leveled up. It's a pre-laid list.
Or the Enforcers versus Marauders during the Mandrake Rebellion.
Oh, man.
Like
that would...
There's a whole list of these events.
That one would have to be a Dead Zone, a Firefight, and a
Warpath. It kind of would be.
Because that was such a huge event.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like there's plenty of, I think, stories that the lore itself already has a whole mess of them.
And they're so open-ended, too.
They're very open-ended. And so, I mean, especially with
a lot of fun.
Especially with the Council of Seven kind of controlling what the narrative becomes, you know, you could just find out. It's like, hey, it was a bunch of Goron auxiliaries versus the GCPS. And this is how it turned out. Oh
man.
This is the first encounter with the Plague.
Yeah. or even like the first encounter with the Asterians.
Yeah.
When they said back off and don't go near those artifacts.
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder why.
Yeah.
But then you also have like
horns in the background.
That was a snow machine. Sorry, snowmobile.
Snowmobile. So
but when the Marauders started saving the Rebs.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was like we played that Dead Zone with the Dreadball in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of a whole bunch of captured Rebs in the middle.
Yeah.
And the Marauders coming through and ripping apart the GCPS and freeing these Rebs. And the one just happens to be that leader.
And cool. And so many of our living legends have legends around them.
Yeah.
How cool would it be to play those events out.
Give it more of a story-driven... Oh, man.
Right?
Yes, please?
Right?
Yes, please? Rob?
Yeah, so... Please? So, Mantic, we love you. Feel free to steal this idea, because I'm already committed us to so many games. You guys, you're great. I'm not expecting anything soon, necessarily. But this would kind of be a really cool kind of supplement, like a mini-campaign... booster that comes out often.
It would do the same thing that Magna Card is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It would be just like the Isolation Protocols or Outbreak, but just on a little bit smaller version.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a smaller Nexus Psi or Infestation, which would be really awesome to have some more of that stuff.
Or even to replay that old summer campaign that we had.
With
all the weather effects and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think that's a... There's a really ripe section of the game space that I think people would really take to.
And it's also a great way to keep the game alive.
It's a great way.
Dead Zone is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Dead Zone is obviously my favorite game.
Yeah.
Pretty much your favorite game. I mean, that's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
But those added features, it's just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it adds so much more to the game that you want to buy more. You want to keep doing more. dang it. I want to play.
and
I played one game today. I still want to play.
It can do that same thing that we've been talking about on the Dreadball side, where, you know, leagues yeah. are an absolute blast to play. Some people don't have the time or the ability to really kind of
go through a whole campaign.
To go through a whole league. This kind of event and
sets you up for it.
It gives you that ability. It's like, hey, I've never played with a you know, GCPRS Marine that has Deadeye, like, you know, all those other skills and things that you only get through the campaign.
Yeah,
I think would be a great way to tease that to people. It's like, hey, look at what you can do if you play through a campaign. This is how awesome your characters can become.
When we get our copies of Magna Carta, you know, that's actually a really good selling pitch for a league.
Yeah,
let's play this game.
Yeah.
These are two built-up league teams.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play this historical game. And then you play it, and guaranteed, that guy's going to be like, can we play a league?
Right? Right?
Because you want to do that.
Yeah.
That is the fun part of the league. I want that feeling with league
mm-hmm.
at some point with Dead Zone.
I do, too.
The campaign for Dead Zone's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of generic. And there's nothing wrong with generic.
But yeah.
I think
there's still some space where more character can come through.
Character, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I want more.
Yeah. to really make those characters come to life in a way.
Yeah.
I think would be a really cool thing to see on the Dead Zone side of things. So can't promise anything from our end. And really, we really don't have the clout or authority. We can just, you know, kind of send our wishes and energy and good vibes off to the Dead Zone Mantic team. And, you know, hopefully it's something that they hear and go, you know what? That's not a bad idea. That wasn't a British accent or anything. It was just a voice.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
In this little box, I have a Forge Father with an ogre head next to it. I'm not really sure what...
That's a little odd.
That's a little odd. So speaking of things that we have committed ourselves to, how's your writing going?
The writing has actually been going, fairly well. A lot more of the story that I've been working on has
yeah, because it kind of bothered me that you haven't shared it, at least with me, some more.
Because
all I got is the same thing you put on the Facebook group. It was like, I want more!
That's...
But you haven't given it to me.
That's fair. And in my defense, it's because my writing style kind of jumps. And I basically just have, like, little aside, like,
little sections.
If you will, like stage, what you call it, like theater stage directions on, like, and then this happens, to kind of bridge the scenario, and then I fill it in afterwards.
So you think you'll be able to get it done in 10 pages?
That is the hardest part. like, I kid you not, like, writing is something that I enjoy doing, and this has been something that's been on my brain for a long time that I've been wanting to tell. There's a 10-page limit, and I really am having to pull myself back from writing a novel and just do a tale for the series that I'm looking to put together. I mean, and, you know, Robert Waters is already talking about writing up his next Dreadball book.
Right?
He's already putting that outline together, so it's like, oh man, but no, it's been coming together in a really cool way. Maybe I will send you a little draft of what I got so far.
Yeah, I want to see.
And I mean,
maybe it'll inspire me. I can never get it out on written word. It's all up here. I have all kinds of stuff up here. I just can't get it out.
You need a transcription software.
A scribe.
Yeah, yeah.
I need a scribe.
That's not me.
Why you committed us to this? Why can't I commit you to that?
Right. But no, it's coming through, and like, I struggle against that 10-page limit, but I won't lie, it's good to have that kind of thing. Yeah. It really helps cut off things that are where it's become, the story's become a little too bloated or it has a tangent or something like that. It really makes you focus on what you're trying to convey with the story, with the theme of endurance, and resilience kind of being.
So explain that a little bit to me, since obviously I didn't jump into it
because sure.
I'm not a writer. So you have to write a 10-page story.
Yep. Or a max of 10 pages.
Max of 10-page story based on endurance.
Yeah. And so for my story, a big, not to spoil too much of it, guys. I want you to read it. But like a big factor is I've got a character who had survived some terrible events in the past that has really kind of messed with her view and outlook on life. Like, you know, this was a very caring and lawful kind of person.
Yeah.
To have basically the legs swept out from under due to these events, which are not going to be really talked about too much because of said 10-page limit.
Yeah.
But to then suddenly kind of be thrust into a scenario that brings that back out of her, gets her back to that core of who she was, and standing up for people and standing up against
such a reb,
the
Brian.
Man.
You're such a reb, Brian.
Yep. So, working title is Call to Action.
Right on.
Second working title is Back in the Saddle.
Back in the Saddle.
Yeah. But, so like that's, so my interpretation is a little bit broader. Some might be a little bit more, specific with, or really kind of hit on, like, I know one idea I had was, telling a story of a teraton that's like, you know, getting knocked down, but getting back up like a shock trooper, surviving the process of,
after hit after hit.
Yep. Captain America. Yeah. I need to make one that has a Captain America shield now on his back.
You sure do. So your next reps list is going to be the Avengers. Go.
Go. But yeah, so that's a,
it's going to make your leader Black Widow.
It could actually a merc list. Because then I could I could have like Howlett be like an enforcer dude, because he's got the Iron Man stance already down.
Yep.
Yeah, that could be fun.
Tangent.
But yeah, so that's kind of the thing. It's for the most part the theme is kind of as broad or narrow as you'd like to make it. I think as long as it's present in some kind of way, and a lot of times, for these challenges, like it's more of a getting started, like it's something to get you going, get the creative juices flowing, as opposed to necessarily like you have to use the word endurance 7 times. If it doesn't show up once per page, we're rejecting it. No, it should be a fun time, and I've been some of the stories have been trickling in already. Some more on the Kings of War side. There was a really neat Basilean. There was one with an Alohi, which is like the angels, the winged heroes in Kings of War. That was written as if it was like a biblical story. So like the cadence of it kind of matched that. It was really neat. And it's one of those things that like you don't think about and you don't see very often. So it was kind of really cool. But yeah, I'm totally geeked. There's about a month left on this first challenge.
Yeah, that was going to be the next question, is how much time is there?
Yeah.
So that's a month left at when this recording is released, or as of today?
Pretty much as of the time the recording's released, because I believe it's to the end of March. I could correct that, and I will post in the show notes. And as I make a note for myself to post, I think I did post it last time, the due date of the rating. But yeah, so as on a completely different note, we talked about Dreadball earlier, and there was,
you're about to say, okay, because I was gonna bring up Blackjack.
Okay. So yeah, there's been some really cool developments on the Dreadball side of things. Do you want to talk about yours first? Because I think ours, mine is a more kind of a...
Yep. So Blackjack Legacy is doing a full kind of review on the new Dreadball book, and he's doing a painting challenge.
Mm.
And his painting challenge is a team.
Yeah, so painting up a new Dreadball team.
Painting up a full Dreadball team, and it's everything that you would have. It could be just what's in the regular team roster, or you can go further and have cheerleaders and coaches, but the minimum is the base for a team.
Yeah.
And that ends...
Is it the beginning of March?
Make it in post.
But it's at least the month challenge. We'll make sure we kind of mention
that in the show notes. Yeah, it's the
end of March. Okay.
And the winner of that one gets one of his cool little cups.
Oh, sweet. We do need some of those. Right into the show. What kind of merchandise you want to you want to get from Dead Zone the podcast, especially with our new logo, which is really awesome. But no, so they also recently put out some great video content. Like you said, they did a big review of the new updates in the program. I saw they also had just recently posted a video about like getting into Dreadball.
Yeah.
And things like that. I know they'd even previously in another episode talked about like games to get people into miniature gaming.
Yeah.
Dreadball made that list, which is awesome. And so they've got some great content coming out.
Yeah, he really does.
Definitely check them out. We'll be linking to them.
Yep.
Again, because I think I've done it already, but hey, never hurts to
I have a standing list of things you link. This is all of them.
Yep. Need to add them to like the list of friends in the podcast on the left side of our Podbean. But on another note, it recently in the Dreadball Facebook group, there was a really involved thread on Jax in Dreadball. The person originally posting was kind of curious what people thought of the value of him and the purpose of him.
Yeah.
He was coming from a more of a the competitive side of Dreadball, so it's like okay, let's
tournament,
So really, kind of getting down to the nitty gritty on like okay, it costs this many for a guy. You know, this is what his abilities are. The math of all of it.
Suck at.
Yeah, dude, math is hard. So what we kind of did like. It was a very, I thought, healthy discussion for the most part.
Yeah.
There were some people that, you know, if you're always more than welcome to play games for fun, but there is a great competitive nature at the heart of games like Dreadball. I mean, you're playing to win.
You're playing to win. I mean, that's kind of in all of these, whether you're playing it for fun, whether you're playing it with a group of friends and going through a campaign, or whether you're in a tournament setting, and the object of the game is to win.
Yeah.
So to go to that, yes, you're going to want to do some math. You're going to want to use the best stats you can for what you want. You're going to want, for me in Dead Zone, I'm going to want that thing that I know that'll take out your strider that you're going to put up on the top, because that's what you do.
Yep.
But I know as you, somebody that I'm playing against, at this point, I know now that you're not going to do that. So I have to adjust my role, and I have to figure out how I can beat a Simeon, and how I can still take out your strider. So I have to do the math on that, and I have to figure out when I'm building my list, what's the best pieces for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in Dreadball.
Yeah.
Where, obviously, in Dreadball, you don't have the extra weapons. You don't have that kind of stuff. But when you have your strikers that are, they score for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job.
Yep.
And then you have your guards who, they knock people out.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what they do.
Don't mess with guards. So then you have your jacks, which are in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're getting ready to go into some numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the jack can hit.
Mm-hmm.
But the jack can also score.
Yep.
And the jack excels at running.
Mm-hmm.
Which, running is one of those, so for some people,
Yeah.
It's not important because everybody moves X, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some jacks out there that by doing those runs and getting those dashes,
mm-hmm.
you can get some insane abilities off.
Yeah.
So there's a place and a time for all of these.
Yeah.
But this obviously being a jack conversation,
mm-hmm.
what are the numbers you got for us?
Sure. So we ran the numbers right before recording. And so the math might be just a tad off. But there's around 27 teams in Dreadball that have jacks. Which, if you know how many Dreadball teams there are.
A lot of Dreadball teams.
That's like all but two or three.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, if you're counting the Renton's rejects,
yeah. Yeah,
official lists kind of thing. And so 14 of those teams have the full cadre of roles, right? They've got, so about half of them have jacks, strikers, and guards.
Yep.
There's five teams that are jacks paired with one of the other roles. So whether that be strikers or guards, it's about even. Yeah. There are two teams that only have jacks.
Isn't it Judwan?
It's Z's.
Z's.
Judwan are only strikers, actually.
Only plays in the same category.
Yep. And honestly, I didn't take notes on what the other team was. I was kind of surprised when I saw it. But then there's about six other teams that kind of fall under a larger umbrella where they have either multiple jacks or you can customize the jacks. So this is like team and the cyborg team, the Rebs team, the Mechanite team, and things like that.
Sure.
I think Renton's rejects fell in that too because they have multiple jacks. So that's kind of the breakdown. 13 of the team captains are jacks. Which again is roughly half of them.
Yep.
And then of the MVPs, there are 9.
And how many MVPs are there?
I didn't count them. and that also excludes the Giants. Giants.
Oh yeah.
There were about half of the Giants were also jacks.
Okay.
So they are, jacks are in this game.
Relevant.
They're
the team. Yeah.
They are everywhere. And so, what does that mean? It means that the certain teams that they are a key member of the team. Some are where they're just kind of an additional tool in the toolbox, so to speak. Jacks, like we were saying, speed is kind of their main stat. So,
yeah.
Running up and down the field is a big thing, specifically with the dash ability.
Yeah, which, without a dash ability, I mean, that gets you in close enough for that toss. That gets you all the extra card.
so if you succeed,
fan checks.
If you succeed at dashes and enough times, you can get fan checks. There's a number of Dreadball cards that I did not do the math on because I didn't have a deck handy. But a number of those cards are jack-related abilities. And so with that, too, there's also the running interference is a huge ability. Being able to interrupt the other player's rush.
Oh, yeah.
It may not seem like a lot where you can only move one and do like a slam. But you can say someone's sprinting down the field, they're going to make the shot, and then you just step in their way.
It changes the whole thing, because especially if you're doing a sprint, so every move you make it counts towards that. So by you stepping in the front of that, they're going to make, what is that, 1, 2, 3?
And you have to evade around all that.
Yep.
So they're having to evade at least twice.
Oh yeah.
Actually.
So maybe only one evade.
I think you have to do two because I don't think it counts for the pivot because you're not entering
yeah.
the hex. But when you move out of that
when
hex,
you move out of that hex, you'll get another. So yeah, you're looking
to evade.
It might be
one or two.
So you might screw up an entire play by just moving once.
Yeah. So it's obviously a little situational. But having jacks kind of in the middle of the field is a really decent spot for them. It's good positioning because they They are that flexible, dynamic. They can either defend or they can attack.
So a rules question for you.
Sure.
On the So if I go to intervene, is that considered a move action?
In the context of
dash,
I don't believe
you intervene and then dash.
I think running interference is its own thing, okay. and it's either. I think because it's only one movement, it doesn't qualify for a run.
Okay,
which would have the dash ability.
Dang,
Jeff. I'm sure you're listening to this. If you made it past the part where I was like, I'm gonna convert grip ball minis. We're probably gonna ask you this question after the show. To my knowledge, it's just the one move that you're not allowed to do a dash as part of that. You are able to do a slam, which it technically comes with a free run.
Yeah.
But it might just be that running interference has that kind of qualification to it. That it's like, you can do a one move with a slam. A one hex move with a slam. I'll be kind of curious what the rules committee has to say on that. Because that could really change the game if more people were aware that they could dash. We will not confirm or deny the existence of a dashing interference play as of this recording. We will get back to you when we know more.
Message sent.
Message sent. I kind of mentioned the Dreadball cards.
Yeah.
I think they are a major factor of Jax.
Tron Tech 29.
and so teams that have a strong card base supporting them.
Yeah.
I think is where Jax really excel, because that's where they get the running interference. Yes. You have to play a card in order to do that. But also like to let them do those kind of crazy dash moves to really generate fan checks and things like that.
Yeah.
They can essentially start their own 1-2-3 test and.
Yep.
And there's essentially like two ways to draw fan checks out of that. Either you succeed on doing three dashes in a row, or there's cards where it's like you've completed an X test.
So that's another dumb question.
Go for it.
Can you have to move your full length before you dash, right? You can't move three and then declare a dash. And end your movement at three and then dash?
It's never come up to my knowledge, but stranger things have happened. It's technically like at the end of your run, you can do a dash.
Yeah, that's why I asked that.
We're gonna see about getting a rule book here. If we can find one.
Well, I have one. I just don't know where it is. That's two random questions. I'm like, huh.
That I do not have the answer for, and I was running Dreadball tournaments.
Hey everybody, John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me, you love me, you know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone the Podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
Running interference player cannot dash, but may need to evade as normal.
Okay.
So you cannot dash. We have confirmed this.
So never mind that, Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff. But it's nice to hear from you. And then let's look at the dash ability. For those that are following along, we are on page 19 of the rulebook.
You're going to have so much editing on this one.
A little bit. Dash allows a player to extend a run or sprint action, including those made as part of other actions such as slamming or throwing. Once a player has moved as far as their move stat will allow,
okay. They
can attempt to move further. So they do have to be at the end of their movement. Now, you could do something where you just kind of go back and forth a bunch of times.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, so good questions, Rick. And for the viewers at home, you're not viewing anything. For the listeners at home.
Good. I'm not the only one doing it this time.
So yeah, so I like Jax. There are some that are stronger than others, to be sure.
The Zors, their Jax are better than their Strikers.
Yeah. The Kalishi Jax are kind of set up to be attackers to some expect. Their ability is backstab. So their whole thing is like they get up behind you.
Yeah.
They don't really have a strength stat that can support making strong attacks without a bunch of them doing it together.
Sure.
That's the big thing. So you have to play to the strengths of your team. So that's how you really can't universally say Jax are terrible or Jax are good.
Yeah. It depends on who you're playing.
They are typically the more affordable player. So if you are building a list, that's certainly a consideration. They're always, I think, the cheapest option on each.
So they're a great filler for when you're in a league.
Yeah. And with league play, you know, you then suddenly have access to a bunch of upgrades and abilities that can make them better at what they
make them nasty.
Yeah. And kind of specialize them in a way because they are jacks of all trades for the most part. So if you have any thoughts or ideas on creative ways to use jacks, leave some comments in the show below or message us on Facebook or call us out and say we don't know what we're talking about.
That's easy when it comes to Dreadball.
Yeah.
For me.
Well, I should know.
Well, in that, you know, that comes from, so we've been playing a lot of our Dead Zone campaign stuff, so we haven't really dove into a lot of Dreadball games.
Yeah.
Like, initially that was one of my thoughts is, hey, we haven't played Dreadball, maybe we'll set up Dreadball, but obviously we got cut short on our time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it is time to get some more Dreadball going,
mm-hmm.
especially with the new books coming out with Blackjack Legacies.
And with Dreadball being a little bit more accessible to play remotely.
Yes.
It has that advantage where the models are awesome and a lot of fun.
Well, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you kind of just need to know what role they are for what team and what way they're facing.
Yep.
On the board. So there's those tools like Vassal, which is I think the... I think that was the officially Mantic supported one. I think they've run their tournaments through Vassal. I think even Tabletop Simulator has a Dreadball package.
And then I know with Jeff and I were going to set up, and I was going to play Jeff because I was still trying to learn the 29ers against you.
Oh.
And we were going to do virtual. And when they've done virtual, it's just he sets up the board and has the video camera.
Gotcha.
It's definitely, again, another game where you can feasibly play it virtually with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, still wound up having a lot of topics to talk about this month.
Sometimes it's funny. We'll go into that whole, hey, when are we going to record?
Yeah.
We pick a day that week. It's like, oh, well...
What are we going to talk about?
And it takes literally a few minutes of going, I have no idea. All of a sudden we have
a list.
We have a little list.
It's a little list, but we expand upon a lot. they are topics worth discussing. And that's one of the fun things.
At least for
us. That's one of the fun things about this game. Like, we can take something as simple as, how cool would it be to have historical Dead Zone matches?
Oh my god, I really want that now.
And talk about it for like 10 minutes.
I want to go through the source book and like pick out specific things and say, hey, I want this one, I want this one, and I want this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mandrake.
Yeah. And two, how neat would it be to, like, I know Star Saga is its own game, but like to set up the Star Saga characters fighting in a Dead Zone as like an outro to one of their missions?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Star Saga, there's a loot item you could find that's a Dreadball game.
And it says
it's betting
very
on...
very specifically, go play Dreadmaw.
It does.
We need more of that. Dead Zone needs something like that. It's like
that would be kind of
cool. Go play Star Saga. Go play Dead Zone, or go play another Dead Zone game.
Go play Dead Zone.
Go play Kings of War. Wow, that's an odd one to show up.
What?
But but yeah. So I think that's a good place
that's
to wrap.
That's a wrap.
So thank you all for checking out this episode.
Listening to us mumble and mumble and mumble and
yep.
Step over things.
And so make sure to check us out on Twitch.
Yes.
Wait for it. So it's... Oh, come on. I just have the hyperlink. twitch.tv/deadzonepodcast.
Yep.
And you can also check us out on Spotify, where we're Dead Zone the Podcast. We're up on Twitter.
Yep.
@DeadZonePodcast.
Instagram.
Instagram. Which I don't even have on this list. Need to get it there. And we also have a YouTube channel where we occasionally post some of our recorded episodes from Twitch. We're trying to get better at that, guys, both from an audio and a recording standpoint. Yeah, so please bear with us.
Our Instagram is
Dead Zone Podcast. So just omit the for most of these and you're all set. And but yeah, so feel free to connect with us on any of those or none of those. You're more than welcome to pick and choose. and so we'll catch you guys next time.
See you on the flip side.
See you after the snow.
After the snow.
In the spring. Maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Do you have a Warpath book?
I do.
Can I borrow your physical? I loaned my physical copy of it to somebody, and I don't know.
You might be in luck. I think I might even have two.
Yeah, because I really do. I have the trays.
Yeah.
For Warpath. I really want to play a Warpath game.
Yeah.
Levi's creeping down.
Levi.
Hi, Levi. Oh, I should probably go take care of that.
Ah. Sounds good. And that's the end.
No soft blows on that one.